Okay, how does this work?
Well, you put the wet clothes in the dryer, you close the door, and you wait.
Laundry day is a very dangerous day.
Hey, hey.
Hey everyone, it's Lila
and James,
and we have a special guest today. Oh my god, I'm so excited, I might actually die. We have our very own guest.
It's the first guest.
Oh my god, it's so exciting. We have self-proclaimed unfiltered YouTuber Sanders Kennedy. I'm gonna die. He's got like over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube.
147,211.
Oh, okay. He knows the exact number.
I think that's it.
On it. Almost 150. He's almost 150,000. That's a lot. So let's just get right into it. Sanders.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're so glad to have you. Oh, my God.
I'm so happy to be on your podcast. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
This is awesome. I never thought that this was actually going to happen because we've been trying to get you for like a month or something, and it just kept, you know, getting push, but I'm glad.
Everything happened, so I'm so happy that this is happening.
So I actually found your page through Stephanie Nicole, who did her video on her brand review on Jeffree Star. And that's when I first got introduced to you. That was probably like months ago, but that's when I first, and then I binged on all your videos. Like I watched almost every single one, and I've just been hooked since.
Thank you. Yeah, I love Stephanie Nicole. I was just speaking to her today. I just love her so much. She's so honest and real, and there's just something about her that I just connected with. I think because we're just so like real and honest, and we don't really care how. Well, we care how we come off to people, but the last thing we're going to do is lie and try to sugarcoat anything to make people feel better. Because at the end of the day, when you sugarcoat things and then something goes wrong, they're going to come back at you and say, well, why didn't you tell me? Just like this straight out. And right. It's like, great, you can never win. So yeah, I really love her personality and how she just said that, like, she means it. My Auntie Wendy says.
Did you guys plan to do those videos like as almost like a collab? Like, did you do your video after she did hers?
Oh my God. Like, no, not at all. So before I did this video on, I believe, Rocky Roadkill. And at the very end of the video, well, don't quote me on that video, but I know I made a video and I said, there's a lot of tea I can spill, but I'm going to keep it classy and keep my mouth shut. Several days later, she came out and said every single thing that I wanted to say.
Right.
Because at that point, I didn't want to expose anybody. I just wanted to talk about what's already out there. That's right. What my decision was. They already talked what's already out there. So she put it all out there, and I was like, whoa, this just happened? She said everything that I wanted to say. So I jumped on camera and said, I repeated what she said just in case no one watched her video, and I linked to the video down below. And then I gave my opinion and blew my 2 cents in there about what personal experiences I had with him. But yeah, and a lot of people get upset that I made, well, now 7 videos. Well, 6 originally, 7 just to be petty. But 6, and I was just like, guys, there's 6 videos because he did 6 fucked up things. It's not like I just sat on camera and talked about random stuff. I talked about every little issue that he had. So the less issues you have, the less videos I'll make about you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get more into Jeffree Star later, though. So,
oh, yeah.
Wasn't there something, there's something, was there like a racist remarks about with him and stuff?
It's a ton of things. Like, there's just too many things that surrounding him that are negative and bad and that people are just overlooking, basically. Mm. People are just like, it's fine, it's whatever, it's just Jeffree, but it's not. And if you watch Sanders' videos on Jeffree Star, he literally just puts it all out there, like, what all of you are ignoring, and this is how he is, and this is why you guys are just okay with it.
Right, and it's all known stuff.
It's all known. It's all out in the public. Like, yeah. It's fine, but we'll get into that. So you recently quit your full-time job to do YouTube full-time, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So what were you doing before? Like, what was your job?
Well, I was working at HomeGoods.
Oh, really?
No one really knows. Yeah, I was working at HomeGoods. But originally, Well, this part, I was working at Home Goods, make some money, and it was around the holidays of last year, 2 years ago, and I was like, I need some money. And so I was working at Home Goods to pay for college, and I just got stuck doing, but I was also doing YouTube, and I wasn't really, I was making, what, $30 a month, not even, so it wasn't even, it paid for, like, some sneakers or something. And then YouTube took off, and I found myself saying, Sanders, you're going to spend 5 hours to 9 hours at Home Goods making minimum wage, or are you going to take advantage of this door that's opening for you and just dive and take a risk and do YouTube? And I said, you know what, I just have to dive and take a risk. I just have to take that risk and hope that it works out. And I learned not to burn bridges with Home Goods because I might have to go back working there one day, God forbid, like, not God forbid, but you know what I mean. I want my, I want to be, I want to succeed, but you never know. Like, but I just had to take that risk and just dive in, and it turns out that it's working, and I'm so blessed, and I'm so happy, and so grateful for that.
Yeah, you're definitely taking, like, off in the YouTube
When did it start to take off, and what was, like, the process in that? Like, how did you promote, or did you, it just, was it just putting in the hours?
It's definitely a lot of help from these other YouTubers. When I started out, I had 23 subscribers, and I won't forget that. And then I did a Kat Von D makeup review, and Casey Holmes, who's a beauty guru, she tweeted out, or she retweeted my video, and I went up to 500. And then Trisha Paytas came into my life, and she tweeted out a video, and we became close, and it jumped up to 5,000.
Wow.
And then I made a video about Nicole Guerrero and my experience with her, and that jumped me up to 20,000. And then I did the video about Jeffrey, and that's what
blew it up.
Yeah.
So when do you start to see monetizing and be like, wow, I could do this for a living, like a subscriber, like as at a number of subscribers?
Well, it's always scary to have YouTube as a job because you never know. One day you can wake up and people might not watch your videos anymore and that check stops coming in.
Right.
So I'm always on edge. But when you see a certain amount that you're comfortable coming in and you feel like, oh, I can pay my bills, I can feed myself, I can live my life off of this amount. Can you see that for a certain number of months?
Right.
You're like, okay, I don't see this dying down anytime soon. It's okay. So I think it's being rational and thinking, okay, I'm making enough money to live and be able to pay for electricity to upload my video. So I feel safe. So it's just thinking it through and thinking, you know what, I'm good at this point. But it's still scary.
Sure. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful time we live in to be like, you could literally
literally sit in front of a camera and talk and make money.
It's awesome.
Oh, and trust me, I never see this as a job. I started YouTube. I'm sure that's one of the questions, why did you start YouTube?
Yeah.
I'm probably jumping ahead.
Right.
I started YouTube because I ran, people don't know this, but not a lot of people know this about me, but I was a journalist, but I didn't go to school for it, but I did journalism. I did interviews with, I worked for a blog that's not running anymore because I stopped running that to do my YouTube, but I did red carpet interviews, went to movie premieres, and did interviews with these A-list stars, and I wanted to do a web series called The Wave, and I talked about gossip about the celebrities,
right.
And then I noticed, like, okay, Sanders, you have to stand here for a half an hour in front of a green screen, read off a teleprompter off your iPad that is so slow and keeps crashing, and I just sucked in front of the camera. I'm good at doing, like, five-minute interviews, but at that point, I wasn't that great in front of the camera. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to do makeup reviews, show what's in my haul, do a foundation reviews, keep it towards, like, what men can wear. Like, if a guy has a pimple, throw a little concealer on it. You don't have to have a full face of makeup. Like, stuff like that.
Right.
And then I started to talk about my opinion about other people. And then I saw a lot of people watching those videos more than my makeup videos.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, this is cool. Let me go in that direction because that's what's going off. So now I'm talking about gossip about YouTubers. So I kind of came full circle. So instead of just talking about A-listers, I throw YouTubers in there too. So it's like I'm back at square one. I'm exactly where I want to be, exactly what I wanted to do. So it's funny how the world works. I had to go through a little side door for a second, but I'm exactly where I wanted to be from the very beginning.
I see that. I definitely see that. And
that's awesome
why
thing.
I think I like watching your videos, too, is because you do talk about, like, A-listers and you know, people in the public eye, but you also talk about these YouTubers, most of them I've never heard of. So I like being in the loop with like these people and like hearing about the drama and like with the, I think they're called the Cassie twins.
Yeah, the Cassie twins.
The Cassie twins. Those are the ones you're talking about now. And I have no clue who they are, but I'm living for what you're saying about them. I'm like, oh my God, this sounds so juicy. I'm in it. I'm all for it.
Oh, just wait for the video that's going to be coming out soon, either tonight or tomorrow.
Oh, I'm going to die.
No one's ready.
I'm definitely ready. So I have a question about, in your video, the exposing another YouTuber video, you were talking about collaborating with another YouTuber, but they wanted money.
Yes.
Was it a beauty blogger?
Surprisingly, no.
No, it wasn't
a beauty blogger. It was, I can't say who it was, but it was somebody that just, I thought I was cool with. And it wasn't a known relationship online. It wasn't like we tweeted each other or anything. It was kind of like one of those private things. You really get to know somebody. Like, you slide in the DMs and you have a nice conversation. You exchange numbers.
Right.
And you don't make it like, oh, I'm friends with so-and-so. Look how cool I am.
Right.
It's more like, oh, we're cool. And then they wanted to do a collab. And it's like, well, so every time that month comes around and you make that money, I want 50%. It's like, what? Huh, what?
Oh, wow.
No, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I'm done. Wow. I'm done. Bye. And I'm a Leo, so I can cut people out of my life like it's no problem at all. I have, like, even though I am very sensitive inside, I have that it is, and I don't really care what you have to say kind of attitude. Plus, I'm from Brooklyn, born and raised, so I have that Brooklyn attitude also. So it's like, done. And then plus, I'm a little bit petty, so I talk about it online.
So have you talked to them since, or what's the deal with that? And why can't you say who it is? Is it, like, a legal thing, or...?
It's just, I don't want to give them exposure because it will just bring more attention to them. They'll gain more subscribers, even though they have way more subscribers than I do. I don't want to shed, I learned my lesson very early on in a YouTube game that when you point your light at somebody, they might gain or they might lose, but you have to choose where you want to shine your light.
True.
You can't just clap back at every single person because once you throw a name out there, it can go left real quick and it might not be in your favor.
Right.
So I think holding back a little bit is a good thing and not expose everybody, but give an under... I did it more of a message of, don't trust everybody. Keep an eye open.
Yeah.
It might be your friend, but this can still happen. That's what I try to do in all my videos. Have a message. But a lot of people... a lot of people see it, but then the people who just randomly watch me don't really see the message or understand my message, so they just think I'm just a bully or whatever.
Right.
That's perfectly fine, but I always make sure to have a message in my video, but I hate trying to say, well, today's message is da-da-da.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a message that's just snuck in there that either you get or you don't.
Well, that's a good question.
Exactly.
Was the Jeffree Star stuff... negative feedback away?
We're not there yet,
James. Oh, okay.
We're literally, we have a whole thing just dedicated to Jeffree Star.
You brought
Star.
Up a good point with that, I wonder.
The thing about, okay, let me just talk for 1 second on Jeffree Star, because the Stephanie Nicole video was, I feel like it was 100% negative jabs, just like one after the other, like every single thing she said in that video was negative towards him. It was literally like a Jeffree Star bash.
Right.
So then when Sanders' video came out, it was kind of like that as well, but it was more, I don't know, it wasn't just like sole negative bash because she had, you know, facts. She had receipts. She had, you know, pop-up messages and videos and all that. And it was just, honestly, it was a little overwhelming. I felt like I needed to go like smile outside or something because I felt really heavy after I watched that video. Like, I really hate Jeffree Star and I can't. So I feel like, In Sanders' videos, they're a little bit different, but now his videos on Jeffree Star are completely like, I hate this guy.
Right.
It's
100%. Like, there's no question on it. Like,
well, give me some bullet points on why I should hate
hold
him.
On. I have more questions on the on some of Sanders' YouTube videos. So in another one of your videos, it's the Crack Baby. I think it's the Crack Baby episode, the episode video. And you witnessing your parents doing drugs when you were a kid.
Hmm.
So,
oh, yeah.
Can you tell, I don't think, James, I don't know if you watched that video, but can you tell us more on that, and, like, how long were your parents struggling with drugs? Like, was it before you were born, or was it solely after you were born, or how did that whole thing go?
So, my parents were involved with drugs before I was born. They met each other in this City of Manhattan, I forget, I think it was like in Harlem somewhere at a party. And they were already drug addicts. And from my first acknowledgement that they are drug addicts, I remember coming out my bedroom at what, like 4 or 5, might be even younger than that. Just like picture images of my father smoking a crack pipe or my mom smoking a crack pipe. And there were many times where I would like run around barefoot around the house and I would step on a crack pipe or sit next to them while they were doing drugs. So whenever I'm out and about or I'm around somebody, I know what crack smells like. So I'm like, it smells like crack. And it was like, how do you know? I'm like, I just know. So it's weird that I have that sense. Like when you're that young, you pick up certain things. And it's like, I know what that scent is. I know what it's from. I know. And when I see people, I just hate judging and saying, well, I know you're a drug addict. But you can, like, when someone's, like, dealing and stuff, I know the signs. But growing up, it was hard.
Yeah.
Because I was always fighting. I think that's why I am the way I am today. I'm very outspoken. But growing up was hard because I was not only growing up with drug addict parents, I was growing up biracial at that time in the early 90s. So that was hard because it wasn't... In Brooklyn,
right.
Still dealing with racism, going to a very, it was mixed elementary school, but I would still hear their parents say, well, oh, you can't hang out with him because he has a black father, or his parents are drug addicts, and my mom would have to come to the school and do parent-teacher conference because they would be more nice to her than they would my black father. So,
wow.
And I'm very lucky that I didn't get into drugs, because with that, either you fall into it because your parents were into it, or you totally are against it. And I fell into the group of being 100% against it. And I'm very lucky, because there were many times where I could have did drugs and snuck and took my parents' like drugs, even though at a young age I still could have did that, but I'm lucky I didn't. But I don't think I said this on camera, but there was a time where my father was holding drugs for somebody, a drug dealer, in the apartment, and I found it.
Oh, yeah, you
and
did.
And I found the bag, and it was just like, dude, I could have died. And I think that was the day that they decided to go to rehab and get help. And they would take me with them. I remember getting on before they used to like go to the city to go to rehab, and then they went to another rehab center, which is now... They tore it down and made a Thai restaurant, which is now my favorite Thai restaurant. So it's very ironic.
Wow.
It's very weird that I'm sitting at a Thai restaurant, which is my favorite Thai restaurant, but I sat there to watch my mother take methadone to get off of drugs.
Wow,
that's heavy.
Yeah, it's very weird. But I take it all in and just try to look at the positive and show that things can turn into positive if you try your best to make it happen.
Now, is your dad still alive?
Yeah, my father's still alive. He's doing good now. He's not on drugs. He doesn't go to rehab anymore. He's 100% clean.
Oh, that's great.
But at the end of the day, you're still an addict.
Right.
No matter if you are taking it, you're still an addict. But he's off of the drugs, and I'm so happy for him and proud of him. And he really turned his life around now. He's living at home and enjoying life and telling people his message, saying, look, don't do drugs. This is what happens to you. And surprisingly, he looks good for his age. I believe he's like 71. And he looks better than most of these 50-year-olds. He doesn't either. Sorry to stereotype, but let's get real here.
Black
from what I've seen, you would have, like, you usually see older drug addicts with chains and wheelchairs.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Just looking really bad. That's what the stereotype that I grew up around. And he doesn't need that. He's running miles. He did have cancer. He got it removed, but there's always stuff there. But he has a six pack. I'm like, dude,
wow.
I have six rolls. He's in better shape than I am.
That's awesome.
Very proud of him.
That's awesome.
Fuck around.
And do you have any siblings?
From their previous marriages, they were married to other people, and I have two brothers and a sister. So the two brothers come from my mom's side of the family when she was married to someone else, and I have a sister from my father's side of the family. They're, like, in their 40s now, so I never grew up with them. It was just, I call myself an only child because I grew up by myself my whole life, but I have hung out with them, and I talk to them, so we have a relationship there, but I feel like even though we are family, it doesn't feel like we're 100% family since we didn't grow up like a traditional family. But I'm trying to work on a relationship with them. It's hard to connect with someone that you haven't connected with for like 25 years, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Seen only a handful of times.
Okay, that's good. Well, at least you have a connection with them, like some type of connection with them. Like, it's not just like we have the same half of blood and we don't talk.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and plus my brothers are the only thing I have connected to my mom, so I need them.
Yeah.
They can share stories, and I can share stories, so that's the only connection I have.
That's really good.
Yeah, yeah, that's important.
So, since your channel is so controversial, I should call it controversial. It is kind of.
Oh, yes, it is.
So, and you go at people and you speak your mind. So, how do you deal with negative feedback and hate? Because you definitely get it. I see it in your comments all the time.
Yeah. Do you go through the comments? I wonder that.
I made it a rule to read the comments for only 1 hour. Mm. And after that hour, it gives access to the haters to jump on and leave hate. So after that 1 hour, I walk away from it. But I do sneak a peek once in a while. But the way I deal with it is that if I can't get on camera and say my opinion, like if I can do that, then I should be open to getting stuff back. And I can take the insults. It's perfectly fine because at the end of the day, I'm still waking up in the morning. I'm still paying my bills. I'm still living life. I'm still choosing to be happy because everything's a choice in life. You can choose to cry over hate comments. You can choose to put your phone down, go hang out with a friend, or go do something fun with your life. No one forces them to watch my videos, which I always try to tell them. No one's forcing me to watch me.
Sure.
Just like no one's forcing me to read the comments.
Right.
You choose what you want to be around. But it's a thick skin, and plus the love that I get from my subscribers. I call them the Shady Bunch. I love them so much. Oh, my God. The Shady Bunch. The positive comments that they give me, just the letters that they send me, like, your story about your crack father, like your crack parents really helps me. I'm a crack mom, or my parents are crack addicts. Or they tell me their stories, and I sit there, and I'm, like, bawling my eyes out. I'm like, this is why I'm doing YouTube. Mm-hmm. Let them laugh, and I blow the shade, and I stick my key. But the root of it is making people feel like they're not alone.
Sure.
That's good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And if you could tell our listeners to watch one of your videos, what would it be? Which one?
Ooh, only one.
The intro video. Which one?
I would choose the HIV video about my mom having HIV because I think that HIV is downplayed now because they feel like, oh, there's pills out there. Right. But I would want them to watch that because in that video I said that my mom was diagnosed with HIV and I didn't know until several months before she passed away. And the point of me saying that is that I grew up with her. I lived with her my whole life. She's my mother.
Right.
I saw her more than anybody else in my life. And I had no idea that she was HIV positive. So for people to walk around and date or just have random sex and think, oh, I can look at you. Oh, you don't look too skinny. Or you don't look sick. You must be great. No, it doesn't work like that. Wow. I live with someone. So if you want to go out there and point fingers and do stereotype kind of stuff, you do that. But just know, you might end up with a STD or HIV, God forbid.
Mm.
So that was my point. Everyone really loved that video. It didn't take off that big. It didn't hit like a million views. But the people that did watch it really got affected by it, and it really changed their life,
I
which I love. I just wish that,
that is a good video.
I wish those videos like hit millions, millions of views. But if it at least hit one person, then that's enough for me.
Right.
Yeah. The ones with the messages.
The ones with the messages are the ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All that other stuff is just fun and games.
Oh, yeah.
So we're ready to talk about Jeffree Star now.
Yeah, come on. Give me some bullet points on this guy.
So do you know who Jeffree Star is?
I do know. I've seen your videos. You watch
him. If anybody out there doesn't know who Jeffree Star is, he is a living troll. He's a living troll doll. You know those troll dolls from the 90s?
Yeah.
The hair? That's him. That's who Jeffree Star is. He is a complete piece of shit.
Whoa.
Like, that. Honestly, I was never, like, a big Jeffree Star fan. Like, I can't say that I was. I have one of his lipsticks. But, like, I never watched his videos. I had him on Snapchat, but I took him off. Like, I really just didn't get it. I don't understand what he does or what he is. So, for me to watch these videos on him just like solidified the reason why I'm not going to support him. And then when Kat Von D came out with her video against Jeffree Star, that's when I was like, I'm really done with this guy. Like, Kat Von D is my bitch. Like, I support Kat Von D for sure.
Yeah,
like,
I love everything. Kat Von D.
Well, Kat Von D too, in order for her to step outside, is kind of like, well, she has nothing to lose.
Exactly. Like, she's so humongous. Yeah. Like, she stomped on Jeffree Star with both feet.
Give me three bullet points why I should hate him. Quick.
Ask Sanders.
All right, Sanders, give me three bullet points quickly why I should hate him.
Oh, you shouldn't hate him. You should take it as an example. I don't think we should hate anybody. I think okay. We should use this as an example to look at other people. So, not saying so. He didn't apologize, I feel, genuinely, in my opinion, to a very important issue, mm-hmm. Which is racism.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He has, in my opinion, no respect for women, threatening to drag them physically or do something to attack them physically or talk down to them, calling them the C word.
Mm.
And a third is that he doesn't respect himself. So if you can't respect yourself, then don't expect him to respect you.
True. Okay. I feel it.
So how did this all start? Did this, like, your videos on him, did they start with the Rocky Roadkill thing? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where it started.
100%. So I'm going to do a little backstory because not a lot of people know this. Jeffree Star was my idol back in high school. I had all his music on MySpace. I rocked his hoodies. I rocked his shirts. I rocked everything that he came out with. I was the emoest kid in the world. My Avenged Sevenfold, My Chemical Romance, The Used, I listened to all of them. Jeffree Star was like a god to me. I was 15 years old. I was like, oh, that's Jeffree being racist. Ha ha ha. Oh, that's Jeffree calling it girls a C word. Ha 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 ha. And I grew up and I thought, damn, that really sucks. That's not really funny anymore. So I wanted to call it out, but then I met him at IMS New York 2014, I believe, the same year I met like all the other beauty gurus. And he just seemed kind of weird, like distant. I was asked for a picture. He's like, no. I'm like, okay, fine. You don't have to take a picture with me. Really? Perfectly fine.
Hmm.
But I told him, I'm like, I was actually there for my website, taking pictures and promoting people, talking about everything that he does. And I was telling him, like, look, I really looked up to you. You really saved my life. You really made me not be afraid of being a freak, of being gay and being out there and wearing makeup. And he's like, okay.
Oh.
And then I was like, oh. So meeting your idol after all these years kind of doesn't work out the way you thought it would.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, fine. So I just, like, I was done, but I didn't make it public for years. I didn't, like, if I wanted to be petty, I would have did it that second. And like, he's a bitch. Blah, 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 blah. I was like, no, I'm going to let it go because that's a personal thing that happened to him. And then once I saw the Rocky Roadkill thing, I'm like, time to talk. And then I saw Stephanie's, and I'm like, oh, no, time to talk more. And then I saw Shayla, and then I saw the comments, and I saw all these other things. Like, you know what? I'm going to get my opinion. I need to get my opinion because people love my opinion. And if people don't want to see, and that's the thing, I want to let these young kids know who are 15, like I was, who idolized him,
right.
Show them he's not perfect.
He's not.
He's not perfect. So don't put him on a pedestal. Don't do that. Like, and it hurts me, and I can't believe I can sit here and say this right now, but he could be amazing. He can freaking run the world if he learned self-respect and common courtesy. I love what he does. I love that he stands out. I love that he's himself, and it shows kids that they can be who they are. They can be a freak and be called a monster, but they are the most beautiful monsters out there, and they can do what they want and say it like they mean it, like my Auntie Wendy Williams says in my head. But he's not using that opportunity. It
right.
was just a negative time where he just lashed out at people, and he had that opportunity to become such a great person and really rise to stardom off of positivity instead of negativity. And
that's
I
just
hope
not
that,
who
not
he is, though. He's got so much of that, you know, angst against everybody, like it's me against the world type of thing, that he can't even, you know, do good, like make sure that his message is for the better. Because even when he goes on and he's like, I'm sorry, like if you were offended, But, you know, that's how he kind of comes off. It's like, I'm sorry you were offended, but this is just how I am. But that's not who you have to be. Like, he could be somebody.
Exactly. He said in his video verbatim, or he said on Snapchat verbatim, I'm sorry for saying this, but I'm white trash. Mm. So does that mean because I grew up with crack addict parents, I can go around and smack girls around and call, like, do things that are negative because I had a bad history? Not only is that wrong, but you're telling people who have bad lives, which is almost everybody who has something negative that they grew up with. It might not be as bad as crack or anything or abuse, but no one grows up with a great childhood. Only a few, but
right.
I doubt that. So for those kids, it's like, oh, well, Jesse was white trash quoting, so I can be white trash and be a bitch because I have an excuse.
Right. Exactly. No, like, that gives me a reason why I'm like this. Like, no, like, you shouldn't be like that.
The opposite. Like, look, I came up in a bad childhood. Like, speaking of him, I came up in a bad childhood, but look, I can still respect people. And honestly, I think that he has his wall up because he's still that little boy that got picked on and bullied. And he's still that little boy who's afraid. And he's afraid of people's opinions and thoughts about him. So he lashes out at them before they can lash out at him.
Right.
I think that's the truth.
That is.
In my opinion.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. He has a huge reach also, right? He has a huge following.
He's got a huge following. He's been around for, you know, like you said, like MySpace days. You know, he was doing music then, and he's got the platform. He's not using it right, though. Yeah. Like, he with the whole Kevon D thing and all the drama that surrounds him just brings him lower and lower. Like, he's going to lose steam. Like, he was skyrocketing. Like, I have to say, like, his sales with his makeup and everything was doing really well, but when drama started with him and he wasn't reacting the right way, that's when things started going down, and I feel like they're just going to keep going down for him.
Yeah.
Like, and it's sad because, like, a little bit of me still hopes, a tiny, tiny bit, still hopes that he can turn it around and become the positive person. I'm sure, I know all my shitty ones are going to be listening to this podcast, and I'm sure it's going to trickle down to the haters, and I'm not like, I'm sure they're like, oh, he's just trying to save face and be nice to get new people. They're like, no, if I really wanted to trash, like, I could have just sat here this whole time and trashed him, but I'm choosing not to because that's not what the right thing to do. You try to find the positive in a negative person and learn from it. Mm. That's my message in everything. Find the positive. You can say a little shady comment, be cute, be funny, but as long as you're getting some gain of positivity, then go do that.
True.
That's really
true. Has he ever, like, reached out to you directly? Like, have you ever heard from him? Like, has he ever emailed you, DM'd you, like, bitch?
Oh, no, he know better.
He better know better. Like, has his people reached out to you? Like, if you keep talking, we're going to sue you? Anything like that?
No lawsuits, no threat of a lawsuit, no messages, nothing. Nothing at all. And it's perfectly fine. And if there is a day where we do come face to face, I'm not going to approach him. I don't approach people that I personally don't like. I just stay my ground. I'm not going to run. So if I'm in a room and someone approaches me, I'm not going to run out the room. If you want to talk to me, then talk to me. If I feel like I have enough respect for you to talk to you, then I'll turn around and talk to you, like me and Sasha Star had a tonight's conversation. But I'm not trying to be his friend. I'm not trying to get to know him. I'm not trying to make up. He's what he is. If he does positive things in his life, then great. I'm still not going to try to be your friend. I don't want anything to do with you. But that's still not going to shut me up because I see my channel as a channel that reports on what's going on.
Yeah.
So technically, I'm a reporter and giving my opinion.
Yeah.
So whatever stories that happen, it's not me bullying him. It's me saying what's going on in his life.
Yeah.
So it kills me when people say, you're creating drama. It's like, I'm not creating anything. I'm talking about the drama that's already out there. Let's look at the differences. But I also remember, these are 12-year-old boys and girls who don't know the difference.
That's true.
True, yeah.
That's a lot of them out there who always come to the rescue of their, you know, whoever they love right now.
And I love that they have passion like that. But let's put the passion towards positive people and passion towards the life that you want to really succeed in and not about ignoring the negative. Like, I have more respect for you if you say, hey, I still want to buy his lipstick, even though I acknowledge that he did these negative things than saying, oh, he didn't do anything wrong. I'm still going to hire this.
Yeah.
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 You know?
That's true.
That's just acknowledge. I just want acknowledgement. That's the one pet peeve I have, is not acknowledging your mistakes. If you can't acknowledge it, then I can't trust you.
I think a lot of your videos, too, are just mainly going out to the people saying, this is what it is. You choose to take it as it is, or you want to get mad at it. And that's what a lot of people, I feel like, are doing, are just getting mad at the fact that you're talking about him. Like, he's getting mad at the fact that you're talking about him. Because he sees your videos. He's watching them, or someone's telling him about them. Like, they're getting back to him, and he's mad that you're talking about him.
Yeah, so I'm bringing light to something that he wants to hide. But there's no hiding when it comes to me. I'm not, like, you can't hide. You can't. Because I spent my whole life hiding who I really was, and that wasn't good. So if there's something already out there that you're like, oh, snap, people, only a few people are talking about this. Let's not have people find out because it's a negative thing. It's like, hey, yo, this is what's happening, guys. Before you spend your $50 on an eyeshadow that looks like chalk,
yep.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to give you a warning. I'm not telling you. I'll even link his website below so you have a choice to buy it.
Exactly.
But I'm letting you know.
This is who you're buying it from. You're buying it from this racist guy who wants to beat up girls and start drama, because he does want to start drama.
Exactly.
Like, just rethink your decisions.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't ask me about any other YouTubers.
Oh, are you kidding? Do you know where I'm going with this? I got you. Hold on.
Oh boy.
I got a list of them, okay? So that's it for part one of the Sanders Kennedy interview. Make sure you stick around for part two.